The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Monday, 13th day of January, 2020. Steve Elkins is online with me. Hello, Steve.
Hello, John. How you doing?
Not bad. People are asking for updates on Mr. Rivero. Well,
I wish I had some good stuff to tell you. I don't yet. New strategy. I'll have to, as I told you, I'm going to have to probably contact Claire and work with Claire. I am at a loss here of words of what to say and what to tell you all. I don't know yet. I'm not sure what's going on up there. I'm very confused.
Well, I mean, start with what you know. He's still in the hospital. Yeah. You talked to him today, right?
I did. I talked to him, and he said he would get back with me, and he did not get back with me. So
yeah, but he also said, "I'll call you when I wake up," and it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. I think he's a little confused. You know, I'm not sure if it's medication related or what's going on, but I'll try contacting Claire and see if we can figure out what's going on here.
Well, he supposedly was possibly going to leave that hospital either Saturday or Sunday and drive over to the Indiana University Hospital. Mm-hmm. And evidently that didn't happen. And somebody else spoke with him and said he's whacked out, drugged up. What are they trying to kill this guy? They can't diagnose him, so they're going to keep him in oblivion. I don't get it.
I don't either.
It's a podunk, and what I'm smelling here is a little pride here with the so-called physician that I guess it's Claire's cousin or however that family thing worked there. But you know what? It's been more than 2 weeks, going on three. They haven't diagnosed him. He's getting worse, and nothing's happening. I'm half tempted to go up to that hospital and kidnap him. Yeah.
Well, I'll see what I can do. I'm not done yet. I'll keep trying.
Steve, if that were you, what would you be doing right now?
Oh, I would. I already told you I do. I get myself discharged. And I said, don't go AMA. Don't go out of the hospital against medical advice. Get a discharge. Get yourself discharged. And then get in your car and drive right out to IU Medical Center. That's what I would do. I'd realize I was in a hospital that was insufficient in meeting my needs, and I'd be out of there.
Well, after all, it's no big deal. It isn't like it's a pet cat or a dog or a goldfish. This is a human being, and, well, let's just leave him in the hospital and see if physical therapy for a guy that they've got to drug up is going to get the job done. I am just, you know, Steve, I don't know. Is it just incompetence? Is it pride? Is it stupidity? Or is it all of the above? I just don't get it.
Well, John, I tell you, I've been around the country, different hospitals all around the country. I've seen some really good hospitals. I've seen some subpar hospitals. I've gone up against some doctors who clearly didn't know their stuff. And I had to correct them and said, I will not follow through with your order because that's dangerous and I won't do it. You want to do it? Go for it. I'm not going to do it. I made my case. I won those cases. Every one of those cases I won against a doctor, I won my case. But these little small hospitals, John, well, I think they have a hard time recruiting, first of all. Who wants to live in a little hokey-poke town? And I'm sure the wages aren't that great. And we see an influx of foreign doctors coming in. And I can't speak for their education level. I've gone up a couple that clearly didn't have the education of somebody who was schooled in the United States. It's a problem. It's a problem all over the country. The foreign doctors, the language barrier is a huge problem in medicine. I saw it a lot, especially as a travel nurse. I went up with doctors, and I had no clue what they were talking. Their accents were so heavy. Their language, it was like, what are you saying? What are you saying? I can't understand you. And then the more you keep asking, please explain again. I don't quite understand. Well, that tell you what, that really irritates them, and it gets worse and worse. So you tell them to write it down on paper. Okay, how about that?
Oh, God.
Well,
no. Oh, a doctor's
writing?
Try to
read a doctor's.
Yeah, right.
Try to read a doctor's writing, and then, of course, in their language, they're writing in as if it was their language, so the sentence structure is not there. Very difficult. Very frustrating to try to work with a foreign doctor, most of them, who have such poor English skills. Very, very difficult.
Well, I ran into an ortho guy, or at least that's what he said. It was a doctor that GM kept on retainer. This is when I blew out my knee at work, had the ACL replaced, and that is a long recovery process. Mm-hmm. You see sports figures, and you'll hear this all the time. Mostly concussion, but yeah, blown out ACLs. And they're out of football recuperating and reconditioning and trying to get themselves back into shape for sometimes up to a full year. And I can remember GM informing me that they wanted me to go see their doctor. And he was just what you described. He was some foreign guy, but there was something really wrong with him. And I kept looking at this guy, and he had this white crust in the corner of his mouth. And I finally deduced that this guy was taking his own meds. And I looked at this guy and I said, I don't know what you're going to write in that report. I said, but after I walk out of this office, if I find out you have told them anything but the true condition I'm in right now, I said, I'll make sure your medical license is lifted. I said, you're a drug abuser. The guy's eyes got as big as saucers, and I never saw or heard from him again. Yeah.
Well, I've met some doctors, foreign doctors. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to stereotype and generalize that they're all that way, but... Yeah. I met an electrophysiologist back in Utah. I don't even want to give his name, but a brilliant man. A brilliant man. People flew all over the country to see this guy to fix their electrophysiology, their arrhythmia problems. This guy would fix you. He was amazing. Still there. And he was from China. And you know how hard it is to learn English if you're Chinese. And he did a very good job, but he worked very hard, went to schooled in L.A., I think it was, lived in L.A., worked there, and then we snagged this guy, one of the best hauls we ever brought into a hospital for the electrophysiology program there, the cardiac program.
Yeah, it's kind of like recruiting NFL stars to a football club. A lot of the guys don't want to go to the smaller market or the guys that haven't won a championship in a number of years. If you're going to attract good people, you got to have a good setup that they want to come in. So, yeah. Hey, by the way, I've got Eric Hughes standing by here.
Okay.
Did you get a chance to read that email I sent over to you?
I did. I read both articles and got some questions. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just start out with this one. Let me go to the News 10, and I don't quite know how to say this. Iron Dequeut, New York, IronDequeuit, Dequeut?
Iron Dequeut.
Iron Dequeut. Okay, I haven't introduced you, and you're talking. Hold on a second. Pot him down. Pot him down. Okay. At any rate, geez, I can't even do a proper setup anymore. Gosh. Inquiring minds want to know. Okay, at any rate, this is News 10 NBC. They actually did a story on this.
Mr. Colonial, we're committed to finding the windows and doors that are
Yeah, okay. As soon as we get past the ads. Have you noticed that, folks? You click on anything anymore? A lot of ad revenue going on out there. And it's only going to get worse. Okay. I don't know who the hell Rochester Construction is, but I don't think I need their services. All right, come on. Okay.
Shooting a man at a local 7-Eleven and agreed to a prison sentence. But before Ronald Pecora was set to begin that sentence, he planned to donate part of his liver to a local veteran in need.
The judge, prosecutor, and his defense attorney all agreed. But as News 10 NBC investigative reporter Jennifer Lukey shows us, at the last minute, the hospital said no.
Ronald Pecora admitted that back in July, he shot a man he knew in the stomach at this 7-Eleven on Titus Avenue. As part of a plea deal, he'll be sentenced to 11 years in state prison. He was supposed to start that sentence in February so he could first donate part of his liver to Dennis Jones, a friend and fellow veteran with liver cancer. The procedure would have taken place at the Wilmot Cancer Center.
The surgeons are wonderful. They saved my life 3 years ago.
And he was hopeful they'd do it again. But last week, Jones and Pecora were notified that federal law prohibits valuable consideration in exchange of live organ donations. And URMC believes Pecora's delayed sentence is a direct consideration.
Oh, it was heart sickening. I mean, I was devastated.
This is Dennis Jones on the phone, by the way.
That was my one good hope to live. There is no cure for my cancer. They cannot operate. There is no known chemo for it. And they've told me, and Sloan Kettering in New York City told me, my only chance is to get a live donor.
Pecora's defense attorney, the prosecutor, and the judge all agreed they would delay sentencing so he could help Dennis.
Any inference or any implication that, you know, this was a stall tactic or delay tactic, not accurate. His plea agreement calls for 11 years. He was going to get 11 years, whether he started that in February, whether he started it in April, whether he starts it now, today. It wasn't going to change anything, and there were no, you know, there were no escape hatches, if you will, meaning that if he did this, oh, the 11 was going to turn into 6 or something like that. That's not the case.
URMC wouldn't speak with me specifically about this case, but a spokesman told me in a statement, quote, when any person volunteers to be a living organ donor, their request is reviewed by a team that includes physicians, surgeons, nurses, a living donor advocate, psychiatrists, social workers, and medical ethicists.
Wow.
This group considers numerous physical, socio-emotional, and motivational factors to determine if the person is a fit candidate for living organ donation under guidelines established by professional associations and government regulations.
So you're back to square one, or do you have anyone else in the pipeline?
No, I'm back to square one.
Dennis is a Vietnam vet. He is over 70, so he cannot be put on the donors list. If he has any chance, he's got to find his own living donor. He is in great shape. That's why they're even considering this donation after the age of 70. If you're interested or know someone who might be able to help him, we've got information on how to begin the screening process at WHEC.com.
Why do a screening process? Sounds like they're going to try to go out there and get this guy a new liver. The donor or intended donor is a one Ronald Pecora, 33 years old, and yeah. He shot somebody, his friend, in the stomach at 7-Eleven. I don't know what brought that on. But what's really bizarre about this, Steve, and let me bring in Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Eric Hughes, you're up there in Rochester, New York. You contacted me last week about this. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at this, and then I'm reading what you actually posted here. And the ethics committee is the one that put the kibosh to this. And I'm looking
Correct.
And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, wait a minute. When you fill out a donor registration card, upon your shuffling off this mortal coil, you know, your demise, you've got this bracelet. You're registered. Hopefully, somebody sees it before they can't harvest anything. And do they do background checks on you at that point? Did they check to see if you paid your parking violations? Do you have any outstanding warrants on you? Did you love your mommy and your daddy? You know, I mean, this ethics, I'm looking at what kind of ethics are they talking about here?
It's a mind blower. For the first time, we have the witches' court doing the right thing, united with the prosecutor. All the attorneys are on board. It's unbelievable. There's one person, the medical, you heard that list of people, the social workers, the medical professionals, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's the medical, there's one person who is the medical ethicist on that board. She's got a JD for Juris Doctorate next to her name, rather than an MD for a medical doctor. So her name is Marjorie Shaw, and all her information is posted at the website, courtroomwatch.com. We have an article that we wrote, and I think we agreed we're probably not going to give numbers out tonight, but we're going to name names. We're going to send people to courtroomwatch.com if they want to be activists in this situation. And for those of you out there who cannot go online, give me a shout, and my number is public information. It's 585-730-9220. That's 585-730-9220. And I do have a crew of quite a large number of elderly people who cannot go online, and so I help them with numbers, and I'll just help you over the phone. So give me a shout if you want to get involved. So there is no ethics here. There's a lawyer, basically, and I don't think she's an attorney. It doesn't not say Esquire next to her name. She's got a doctorate. She's got a Juris Doctorate, a JD, and she is the one who is the legal mind on the team. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts the rest of the team was all okay with it, like the rest of the community, like the court, like the medical staff. Everybody wants this to happen,
yeah.
Except this one woman who is instilling fear in the rest of the committee that there's going to be a violation of an obscure federal statute called Title 42, Section 274E, and it's titled Prohibition of Organ Purchases. Now, right there on its face, a purchase has to have a buyer and a seller, and intent. None of those apply here. And as you read through the clause, the News 10 piece mentions valuable consideration. Nebulous term that can be applied to what? A cup of coffee next week after the operation? I mean, it could mean anything. So for them to claim that it's a valuable consideration, and the donor who's going to prison and giving away half his liver in an operation that might kill him at a facility that's proving to be ruthless, I don't see how he's profiting or benefiting of getting anything of value from this.
Well, now, let me slow you here just a second here. How does Pecora fit into this? I mean, how did he come about wanting to donate part of his liver
They're both veterans, and they're both from Ogden, New York. They might have known each other from the local VFW. So he found his donor right there in his crew. I think they mentioned the word friends, that they were at least acquaintances. So I think they knew each other, and Pecora, you know, offered himself. He's giving away his flesh. I don't see why this can't happen. If you read the third point I wanted to make on this actual statute, you have the purchase, which requires a buyer and a seller, and there is none. You have valuable consideration, which the prisoner is not getting when he's giving away his liver. And it's very interesting. I'm going to paraphrase, and it is very short. It is unlawful to transfer an organ for valuable consideration if the transplant affects interstate commerce. And that blew my mind, because you don't have to go far of a stretch now to show people we're under UCC law. So how, if the hospital's in New York, the prison's in New York, the donor's in New York, the recipient's in New York, the court is in New York, what's the problem? Because the surgical gloves are made in China, it's now interstate commerce. So I don't get it.
Yeah.
So it's the commerce clause, it's the purchase. This thing is flat on face. And what I'm trying to do is get, this man's name was not on our post, but we're going to add him to it. And that's the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of New York, Mr. Kennedy. And if we can get him to make a statement, whether publicly or privately. Do we have a break? I hear music.
Yes, we do. Give me a few minutes here for the break.
Sure.
They've also got a URMC statement that seems like a bunch of gobbledygook, but they've got a bunch of high-paid people here making a decision on a man's life, and none of this is any sweat off their nose.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
According to the statement that was put out by the URMC, they said privacy laws prevent the medical center from providing protected health information about any patient, including potential organ donors or recipients. When any person volunteers to be a living organ donor, their request is reviewed by a team that includes physicians, surgeons, nurses, a living donor advocate. I don't know what the hell that means. Psychiatrists, social workers, and medical ethicists. The group considers numerous physical, socio-emotional, and motivational factors to determine if the person is a fit candidate for living organ donation under guidelines established by professional associations and government regulations. Yeah, okay. Well, the doctors believe that his liver cancer was caused by exposure to Agent Orange during his time in the service. He's 73 years old, but because of his age, he's not eligible to be put on a waiting list or for a cadaver liver. His only chance is to find a living donor. Now, guys, this doesn't seem to be a stretch here. Steve, you brought up the point here that, you know, who's going to pay for this?
You mentioned a whole list of people who are responsible making the decisions on this case here.
Yeah.
Which has me believing there must be a hierarchy. Yeah. Somebody's word means more than the others. I was surprised when you mentioned nurses because I mean, there's OR nurses who help the doctor on the recoveries and stuff like that in the transplantation, but I can't imagine them having any pull or any say-so on anything. There's a hierarchy there, and it listed a number of people, and I would like to know the hierarchy of the line, because you're not talking about a democracy here at all. If people getting together and said the unanimous wins the case here and we're going to do this, clearly there's somebody who's the force behind saying yes or no. And I'd like to know who that is myself, personally.
Well, we've got, here's a list of the Strong Memorial Hospital Ethics Committee. Marianne Ciferri, she's an MS, whatever that is. Carl D'Angelo, he's an MD. Richard Demme, MD. David Kaufman, MD. Marjorie Shaw, JD, as Mr. Hughes pointed out. Bernard Sussman, MD, and Bernard. Okay, yeah, that's your list there. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, here is a vet poisoned by that wonderful stuff. And how many vets died of this Agent Orange? The government stayed in denial until most of these service people have already died of cancer. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, well, it was Agent Orange, and yeah, there was lawsuits and some payola that went out, but what good did that do for the dead soldiers? Now, this guy evidently is half dead, and we've got somebody saying, well, wait a minute here, it violates the hospital's ethics. Since when do ethics come into play here with doctors in their first order of business? What we all have been learned is drilled into our head. Well, first, do no harm. Do you think them sitting around twiddling their thumbs is going to be harmful for the 73-year-old vet, Mr. Jones?
Yeah. Well, you know what they need to do? They've made their comment. They've made their decision. Ethical. Okay, and explain yourself. Has anybody pushed them to say, explain where ethically it is wrong to not go forward with this transplantation? You see, there's an area there we don't know. And I would like to know. I'm just not going to take this as saying, no, we're not going to. He doesn't meet the criteria, ethics criteria. So tell me where is the problem area in the ethics here? I'd like to know. And that's what they need to push. They need to file a lawsuit pretty dang fast. Not wait around too long on this one here. They need to file the lawsuits real soon here.
Well, it's rather fascinating. I mean, when have you ever heard, Steve, that a guy that went to court was found guilty of murder, the judge, the prosecutor, anybody that was connected with the prosecution of this guy, and then turns around and says, yeah, no problem. He's going to be doing something good. The prosecuting attorney saying, this is not any reduction of sentence. This is nothing but forestalling his incarceration until the operation takes place. So here's a guy that did a bad thing to one of his own friends. That guy subsequently died. Here's somebody that's half dead, Vietnam, served his country, has got liver cancer. And evidently, this center treated him before, but they're more than happy just to sit here and bollocks up the works here with their ethics committee.
That's what I'm saying. We need to see the criteria. I'd like to see the criteria, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What's the criteria here? Let's take a look at the criteria. Let's see it for ourselves. I think this is what they need to jump on. Because they have not revealed their criteria. What is his secret? Is the criteria secret? We should not know the criteria. That's their winning part of the case here. They need to file a lawsuit, show the criteria, and move expeditiously, very, very fast on this. What is the criteria? Where is the violation? Where's the criteria?
Yeah. All right. Eric, hang on a second. I'm going to carry you over in the bottom of the hour break here. I'm posting that up as we speak, what you had sent me, along with the entire list of names and phone numbers. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are back. Eric, I just posted up that story on republicbroadcasting.org. And as I said to you earlier, this is what the moles and trolls wait for. I don't know who it was that, in the case of Mr. Jones over Sandy Hook, and the only way they could get at him was complaints filed by supposed parents of the children getting harassing calls. And I say this because if you want to blow something out of the water, just let the moles and trolls, they salivate at things like this. They will call up and say anything, and it's generally not nice, and it's generally threatening. Now, it's ironic that they'll never go after the person that makes the threat, just the people who give out the contact information. So, that is posted, ladies and gentlemen, and I would ask you to be polite and to be kind. There's a list of phone numbers there. Eric, who do you think would be best on this list to call?
Oh, wow. You know, I always like to shoot high, so I'm looking at Richard Handler. He's the chairman, very interesting character. Your listeners are going to want to hear this one. He cut his teeth. In other words, he started out in his early days as a junk bond trader for Michael Milken, who went to prison for 10 years and was fined $600 million. He then went on, after he crashed Drexel Burnham Lambert, 60 of the Drexel Burnham bankers and traders were picked up by the Jeffries Group. And they went on to the Jeffries Group to do the same thing they did to Drexel, which is pump and dump the whole stock market Ponzi scheme we know, including, and this is stated right in open history, he has funded and then defunded suddenly the five protesting nations of Greece, Ireland, Italy, Portugal, and Spain. He's got a very sordid history. He made more money in 2012 than Jamie Dimon of JPMorgan Chase, $19 million. So you can do your research on him, but he's the chairman of the Board of Trustees, and he's a big wig. He's an international banker. He's an economic hitman. This rabbit hole goes deep. I also like to call the Archbishop, because the Archbishop, who is now the Cardinal, Timothy Dolan, has quite a great deal of clout over everything that happens in New York State, I can assure you. So I'm kind of going down the order. Marjorie Shaw could change her mind, you know, but she's kind of the genesis of the problem. She's the medical ethicist, or the medical lack of ethicist. But, you know, she's not the shot caller, handler, the Archbishop, the CEO of the hospital, whose mugshot is up on our website, Stephen Goldstein, you know, and of course the president of the university, Sarah Mangelsdorf, M-A-N-G-E-L, Mangelsdorf, and she's the president of U of R. And let me clarify what URMC stood for. That's the University of Rochester Medical Center, and they oversee the entire campus, Strong Memorial Hospital, a whole series of hospitals that they've gobbled up around Western New York, healthcare centers. They probably employ tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people in New York. If you pull in all the auxiliary IT guys and food service providers and et cetera, you're probably hundreds of thousands of people, maybe a million in New York State. So they're very powerful, this whole U of R thing, University of Rochester. So call Sarah Mangelsdorf. She's the president of the university, so she's way high on the list. So, I'll go back to what I was talking about when we went into the break. We need to, and I did not print his number yet because I wanted to see what would happen with the hospital first. Let's go up the chain of command. By the way, you mentioned the hierarchy, Steve. I'm going to divert and come back to remind me to come back to U.S. Attorney Kennedy. But the hierarchy, I was told by a very reliable source that all hospitals are military. And when I called, by the way, Strong Memorial Hospital had what's called an annex on its compound, which was created under the Manhattan Project, and it's historical record that the doctors at Strong did radiation testing for Oppenheimer and the Manhattan Project by slipping uranium and radioactive material into their patients without their consent. Woman came in with a...
Now, that was really ethical, and the same thing applies when they were testing these bombs out in the desert. They told the soldiers to dig trenches and then set off the bomb, and the only thing they gave them was some protective goggles, but they're breathing all that radiation.
Yeah, and Marjorie...
Yeah, Eric, I've got a question for you. Eric, I've got a question for you. You talk about Strong Hospital. Why Strong? Why can't you? You're up in Rochester, Minnesota area. You got the Mayo Clinic right there.
New York.
Probably one of the best hospitals in the world, Clinic there.
New York.
Why not? Pursue the Mayo Clinic Hospital and their physicians?
Because we're in Rochester, New York, and Strong is in Rochester, New York. Mayo is in Minnesota.
I thought you said Rochester, Minnesota. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, and I would personally drive this man to another state if I thought, because I'm like, well, why are we switching donors? Why don't we switch hospitals? And it begs the question. The problem is, most likely, every hospital is going to have a legal mind on the ethics board that's going to put the kibosh on this. So what we really need to do... Oh, by the way, when I called Strong Memorial Hospital originally to do my share of the phone calling, the woman at the front desk said, I'm sorry, you can't call here to the CEO's office. We have a chain of command that you have to go through to get to here. I said, really? I said, well, who could I speak to? I said, this is a matter of life or death. Could you please put me through? And she said, well, our chief officer is not here. She said, I will triage your call back down to where it needs to be. And I said, excuse me, before I go, are you any relation related to the military? And she said, yes, I'm a veteran. I would concede she's still active duty by what the terms she used, but that's speculative. I'd like to put gentle heat on the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of New York, Mr. Kennedy. If he can somehow either overtly or covertly, if he, you know, he doesn't have to make a public statement, but he can, you know, send a message through the back door channel, so to speak. And we know things are done that way. Let's be, you know, adults here. And if he could make it clear to the, you know, to the U of R Medical Center and Strong Hospital that he would not have a problem with this, that he wouldn't open charges against Strong for saving this guy's life, I guarantee he wouldn't touch it at all. He wouldn't risk that bad type of, you know, well, let's turn a good deed into a criminal act. So I think we should all call Mr. Kennedy, and I'm going to get his number up there. I might make a special blog out of it. I'm waiting for a return call because I spoke to his top legal assistant today, and he's going to take it to Mr. Kennedy, and I'm going to give them a chance. I'm going to go through the chain of command here. We'll work our way up, and we can go to Barr and Trump. I've got a whole group of vets that say they have the direct ear of the president. We got them working on it. So please get a hold, again, be very, you know, polite and professional. You know, get a, require a call back, okay, so you know they got your message if you have to leave a message, and let them know you're out of state. It's beautiful to have people calling from all over. We're getting hits on our site from all over the world, almost every country. So I know we got people calling from Canada, Germany, Japan, Finland, and if we can get every state in the union, that would be huge. They may reverse their decision. If they don't, just Mr. Kennedy, the U.S. attorney, needs to make it clear that he's not going to have a big problem with this. Please let the transplant go forward. They were telling me they don't want it. They can't really legally do anything preemptively. Something has to happen before they can intervene. And I said, look, I understand your point, but this is an extraordinary circumstance. They call for extraordinary measures.
What would they classify as an event, something that needed to happen? A guy, well, obviously, a guy's death is not, not a motivating factor?
I guess, you know, I'm hoping... I'm still hoping that maybe I get a call back tomorrow and something happens here. But no, you're right. You're exactly right. I'm holding out a little hope, but not. I'm not delusional because these things are very. The evil goes very high and very low. As we go back to Dennis's, as we go to activists. Oh, by the way, another thing. I told you about Handler making $19 million a year. So when you talk about high-paid people, some, like the highest in the world. If you when you're making more than the president of J.P. Morgan Chase.
Yeah,
that's uber wealthy.
By the way, whose website is courtroomwatch.com?
That's mine.
Okay, I got a suggestion. Next,
Eric, I got a question for you. Is there any reason if you contact the hospital right now and ask them, they'll send you down to risk management? Is there any reason why they will not provide you with that criteria and where it violates their ethics? Is there any reason why they won't give you that information?
I think they don't have a good answer, and they're just trying to, it's just, you know, push them back down to the lower man on the totem pole. I don't think they want to admit that they don't have any good reason for this. So they just want to kind of wall themselves off in their, you know, militarized medical establishment.
Second question here. If this patient doesn't get this liver transplant, theoretically, how much time does he have right now?
That's a good question. You would probably know that better than me. Advanced stages of liver cancer.
I'd have to look at his labs. I mean, his condition and everything. Have you seen the patient? Have you seen him?
No, I'm trying to get a hold of him. So I was going to try to bring him on tonight. But I'm having trouble getting his contact info. And so I'm just running with it as best I can. I'm sure he would want us to do everything we can. I don't care how old the guy is. I don't care what he did in the Vietnam War. I don't care what whatever preconception you had. Put it aside. Saving this man's life is of paramount concern.
Yeah.
So another part of the activism I'd like to encourage people to do is file the paper complaint. We have it in a nice, neat little PDF file on our website. If somebody can't get on the Internet, I'll mail a handful to you. Get all your friends to fill one out. It's an easy complaint. They're knowingly letting a person die. I could make the case for manslaughter in this. If someone's in distress, they want the attention, they need it, and you withhold it intentionally, and you know they're going to die, and these doctors sure do know that, then I could easily make the case that's some degree of manslaughter. So to address this, we have to end their career legally and lawfully through the paper filing. If enough complaints get filed against their license, they won't be able to do anything. So download the medical complaint form. We've got it there. Fill it out. Get everybody to be a force multiplier, people, and fill out those forms and mail them in by the hundreds. If we can get that, it will send a shot across their bow, so to speak.
All righty. Well, I appreciate...
Hey, Eric, I've got another question for Eric. I'm not done yet. Yeah. John, I've got another question for him. Just out of curiosity, why was Strong Hospital picked? Why isn't he at a VA medical center for organ recovery, organ donation?
That's a good question. We're going to work on the VA as well, but I'm suspecting that they're not set up for this sophisticated of an advanced operation. Okay. A couple other comments before I go, I'd like to make, John, if I can just get out there, and I'll try to make it brief because I know you got more of a show to do. Part of the reason that I think that the higher motive, the deeper agenda in this, is they don't want to set a precedent that prisoner can do anything good. They don't want to set a precedent because that's going to shatter the police state paradigm that a lot of people in this country are locked into. So I think they want to, they don't, that's going to affect them negatively, the enemy. I also, veteran helping veteran, they're not going to want that out there. And we know that veterans, patriots, and Christians are on the you-know-what list. So they're ultimately, you know, he's already kind of got the few strikes against him, so to speak, for that. Because the system that he's working with them does not like, we know what's going on there. So I don't think they want to set the precedent. And that may be some of the ulterior motive for not letting this happen. That's speculative, okay? Now, beware of the donor program. I spoke to the son of one of the world's most famous urologists. He was injured in the Battle of the Bulge, and he was the first successful bone transplant ever was performed on this guy. He's very well known, Dr. Leonard Gallarico. And he told his children, do not ever sign the donor card, because those doctors from the other countries that you can't understand, they have a different value on life than we do, and they will pull the plug on you ASAP to get their hands on those organs.
All right. Well, Eric, I appreciate it. Keep me updated on this, if you would.
Yeah, and yes, people, please get involved. Please be a force multiplier. Anybody's welcome to call me. John, Steve, give my number out to anybody who wants it. And please help us in this most important battle.
All right. Eric, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. I much appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
All right. Oh, gosh. Man, you know, every damn time you turn around, Steve, and these people are convinced that the bureaucracy, the medical bureaucracy that they have set up, this is just fine. I mean, there's a lot of high-paid people here making decisions, life and death decisions, but it's kind of odd that a JD is the one that on the ethics committee is going, oh, yeah, wait a minute here, not even a full-blown attorney, just a, you know, a JD. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
By the way, speaking of doctors, gosh, 700 American doctors are given over $1 million each from the pharma cartel to push drugs and medical devices, Steve. I find this very disturbing. You know, we're talking about, well, health care is just too expensive, and we wanted to give you the Affordable Health Care Act, and you'll be paying less for premiums. No, that all turned out to be a damn lie. And then the lie was further perpetrated by the Supreme Court on their ruling about Obamacare. Oh, yeah, that's legal. That's legal to do because Congress has the right to lay and collect taxes. Yeah. And I'm looking at this and going, wait a minute. We're talking about a mandated medical service, a contract. They're compelling you to contract, and they were telling you there was no way out. And you might suffer financial penalties, or you might go to jail for refusing to join. So we had the Supreme Court rule that, yeah, laying and collecting taxes, that's Congress. Yeah, that's our ruling on the Obamacare. Well, through a thorough and revealing analysis of statistical industry payment data, ProPublica went down the well on this one. They disclosed more than 2,500 physicians have received at least $500,000 apiece from drug makers and medical device companies in the past 5 years alone. Now, more than 700 of those doctors received at least $1 million, and that doesn't include money for research or royalties from inventions. In their article, the authors note that their previous analysis in 2013, which found out that one doctor had made $1 million and 21 doctors had made over $500,000 for the same reasons, was expected to be a wake-up call for more effective scrutiny, oversight, and challenges to these payments. Instead, these type of payments have become much, much more commonplace. And ProPublica analyzed more than 56 million payments made from 2014 to 2018, the first full 5 years of the Federal Open Payments Initiative, which requires companies to publicly disclose the payments as part of the 2010 Affordable Care Act. Yeah. Some academics and physicians predicted that the exposure might cause companies to rethink making payments and doctors to rethink taking them. A flurry of studies matched the payment data with the doctors' prescribing choices and found links between the payments and the products doctors chose. A little bit of payola. Grease the skids here. Now, do you think a doctor might be more inclined to indicate treatment or service using a device? You think they'd be doing the same thing if they weren't getting paid for that advice? I see a little ethical dilemma here, Steve.
Yeah, I do too.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Back. You know, it turns out, Steve, that this information has to be disclosed, even if many studies found the links between the payments and the products doctors chose to foist upon their patients. There doesn't seem to be any rush to curtail or prevent such an arrangement between doctors and the industry. And shouldn't there, here's the ethical question for you, shouldn't doctors' recommendations to their patients and to other doctors be based solely on their own research and conscience and not on the potential for a lavish secondary income?
Well, you know, I found most physicians, to be honest with you, they don't have the time to actually do the research on their own, to do the homework. They don't. Unfortunately, they get these drug reps. Always a pretty girl, by the way. I actually interviewed for a drug rep position, and I wasn't pretty enough. I didn't get the job. It's a long, long time ago. No hard feelings. But they do. They hire the prettiest girls. No education. They give them a cheat sheet. This is what you need to know. This is how you sell it. And they meet with the doctor, because what doctor is going to turn down the chance to have lunch with a pretty girl from a drug pharmaceutical company? But they don't take the time to research, and they don't read that little drug insert in the medication. And they're just taking the word of the drug company, and the FDA said, okay, it's been backed. It's and we know we can't trust them.
Well, I bought my used car from Honest John's used car sales, and he said, hey, that's almost like a brand new engine and transmission, and they both blew up. I can take the word of him. Yeah. And since doctors are so busy, why don't they have physician assistant, Steve, to do all the research that a doctor, if he needs to know something, here, go research this out and let me know. Even our ASSAT politicians in Washington, D.C., they have staffers that do all that.
Yep, they do. That's a great solution to the problem. A lot of physicians actually do have, they get so busy, they do hire a nursing, either a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant. And that would be a great idea to research it before you. I mean, if I'm going to give it to my patients, do I want to take the recommendation from the people who are selling it to me, who have an interest to make a lot of money, and maybe suppress the truth and the evidence of medication? No, I do want somebody to research this a little bit deeper, go into and find out the truth. Look all the case studies. Always look to who pays for those case studies. That's a person has a self-interest right there. And most of the time, they're funded by the pharmaceutical, not an independent researcher themselves. So, no, that's a great idea, John. Nurse practitioner or a physician assistant, that'd be a great job for them to research, to make sure it's limited in adverse reactions, that the patient will benefit, more helpful than harmful. I think that's a great idea.
Well, and look what the hospitals across the country did how many years ago, where the doctors were complaining that they were too busy, they were being tied up with paperwork and this nuisance stuff, and they started pawning more of this stuff off to the nurses, where before it was the doctor's purview to do.
It's true. Yeah, they also complicated it by making medical records all digitalizing everything. Of course, the computers go down, as they do, and then you're backlogged and you're behind. And you know, it's strange that technology is supposed to make our lives easier, and often it does just the opposite.
Well, we'll stay on the medical theme here into the next hour. They posted on WikiHow, and they're trying to teach children how to get vaccinated in secret by scheming against the anti-vaxxer parents who may abuse their own children. Taking care of your children nowadays, folks, and looking out after their best interests based on the information that you yourself have gathered, the parents are just shysters. Parents are stupid, and we're going to shoot your babies up with these vaccines, so let us tell you how to do it. Wow. Let's take top of the hour break. We'll be back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day. And in times of emergency, we have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.